Too late now. Bunty's name will be Mummy for a few years yet, of course, but after a while there won't be a single maternal noun. Mummy, Mum, Ma'am, Ma, Mama, Mom, Mommy, that seems appropriate. And I more or less give up calling her anything. Poor Bunty. We live in a place called Above the Shop, which is not a strictly accurate description, as both the kitchen and dining room are on the same level as the shop itself, and the topography also includes the satellite area of the backyard. The shop, a pet shop, is in one of the ancient streets that cower beneath the looming dominance of York Minster. In this street lived the first printers and the stained-glass craftsmen that filled the windows of the city with coloured light. The 9th Legion Hispania that conquered the north marched up and down our street, the Via Praetoria of their great fort, before they disappeared into thin air. Guy Fawkes was born here. Dick Turpin was hung a few streets away, and Robinson Crusoe, that other great hero, is also a native son of this city. Who is to say which of these is real and which a fiction? These streets seethe with history. The building that our shop occupies is centuries old, and its walls tilt and its floors slope like a medieval funhouse. There's been a building on this spot since the Romans were here, and needless to say it has its due portion of light-as-air occupants who wreathe themselves around the fixtures and fittings and linger mournfully at our backs. Our ghosts are particularly thick on the staircases, of which there are many. They have much to gossip about. You can hear them if you listen hard, the plash of water from Viking oars, the Harrogate tally-ho rattling over the cobblestones, the pat and shuffle of ancient feet at an assembly room's ball, and the scratch-scratch of the Reverend Stern's quill. As well as being a geographical location, Above the Shop is also a self-contained seething kingdom with its own primitive rules and two rival contenders for the crown, George and Bunty. The conception has left Bunty feeling irritable, an emotion with which she's very comfortable, and only after much tossing and turning does she succumb to a restless, dream-laden sleep. Given free choice from the catalogue offered by the Empire of Dreams on her first night as my mother, Bunty has chosen dustbins. In the dustbin dream, she's struggling to move two heavy dustbins around the backyard. Now and then a vicious tug of wind plasters her hair across her eyes and mouth. She's growing wary of one dustbin in particular. She suspects it's beginning to develop a personality uncannily like that of George. Suddenly, as she heaves hard at one of the bins, she loses control of it, and it falls with a crash of galvanised metal. Crash! Ker-clunk! Spewing its contents over the concrete surface of the yard. Debris, mostly from the shop, is sprawled everywhere. Empty sacks of Wilson's biscuit mix, flattened packets of Trill, tins of Kitty Cat and Chappie that have been neatly stuffed with potato peelings and eggshells, not to mention the mysterious newspaper parcels that look as if they might contain severed babies' limbs. Despite the mess, the dreaming Bunty experiences a flush of pleasure when she sees how tidy her rubbish looks. As she bends down and starts picking it all up, she becomes aware of something moving behind her. Oh no, without even turning round, she knows that it's the George dustbin, grown into a lumbering giant and now towering over her, about to suck her into its grimy metallic depths. Somehow I can't help feeling that this dream doesn't augur well for my future. I want a mother who dreams different dreams, dreams of clouds like ice cream, rainbows like sugar crystal candy, suns like golden chariots being driven across the sky. Still, never mind, it's the beginning of a new era. It's the 3rd of May, and later on today, the King will perform the opening ceremony for the Festival of Britain, and outside the window, a dawn chorus is heralding my own arrival. This garden bird fanfare is soon joined by the squawking of the parrot down in the pet shop below, and then, drrrring, the bedside alarm goes off and Bunty wakes with a little shriek, slapping down the button on the clock. She lies quite still for a moment, listening to the house. The dome of discovery will soon be echoing to the exultant cries of joyful English people looking forward to the future. But in our home, it's silent apart from the occasional chirrup and twitter of birdsong. Even our ghosts are asleep, curled up in the corners and stretched out along the curtain rails. The silence is broken by George, suddenly